And now Flip, Flop and Five, The Blues Brothers, again here, Radio Panic. Historias mínimas.
Historias Minimas, Radio Panic 105.4 Bruxelles in Europe. And now we're going to move into a new musical direction. So while blues was the big, was a very huge force in Chicago, it was certainly not the only one. And now we go into soul, jazz, rhythm and blues, which were huge forces in the 60s, 70s and 80s. Just to start off, because we want to get the music going to get us in the mood, of course, we're going to play two songs straight off. The first is the Chai Lights, Old Girl, and then we will play what is almost probably the most famous soul song coming out of Chicago, Curtis Mayfield, Move On Up. And let's hear those two songs. Thank you.
écoutez Radio Panique 105.4, Chicago Convergence Today, la convergence de la musique de Chicago sur les notes maintenant Move On Up de Curtis Mayfield.
Just move on up toward your destination. Though you may find from time to time complications. Just move on up, for peace you'll find, into the steeple of beautiful people, where there's only one kind. So hush not, child, and don't cry. Your folks might understand you by and by. Keep on wishing. Remember your dream is your only scheme. So keep on pushing. Take nothing less than the supreme best. Do not obey, rumors people say, but you can pass the test. Just move on up to a greater day. With just a little faith, if you put your mind to it, you can surely do it.
Thanks. Those two songs are just so important because they really put us in the mood now for the soul. So, Don, they are linked to what was going on in the political scene in Chicago at the time. Can you tell us a little bit more about that, please?
Sure. Obviously the 60s were kind of a revolutionary time around the world, right? I mean, you had a lot of things going on. And Chicago is very much part of that. In addition to things like Vietnam sentiments and stuff like that, you had the civil rights movement, which was very powerful at the time. And while that's often thought about as like something limited to the American South, you know, Martin Luther King came to Chicago in 1966, I believe, to advocate for open housing. Chicago was known, and in some ways is still known, as being one of the most segregated cities in the United States. So, you know, King came here with his nonviolent protest message. We had more militant forms of Black protest and empowerment. We had a Black Panther chapter here. Chicago's the home of the Nation of Islam. So, you know, there's a lot going on here. The soul music as sort of an expression of the community, you know, is very much affected by everything that's going on in these people's lives, right? You know, you've got the poverty, but also you've got the struggle for freedom, and you've also got some success stories. And you also have everyday concerns like romance, which is, you know, Oh Girl is just a gorgeous, gorgeous song about a guy just trying to figure out what to do, right? You know, with this relationship to make it work. So, it's not all protest music, but that's an element of it because life is lived outside of that. as well, right?
And Aaron Cohen, the who works at the university, he's just published a seminal book in 2019, really on Move On Up, the whole idea of moving on up.
Yeah, no, exactly. Aaron is a very well-respected music writer here in Chicago. And yes, he does teach journalism as well at Columbia College. He grew up in Chicago. And, you know, like it's like in the water here. If you grew up here, this is an important place, right? So I think he thought that Chicago's contribution to Black popular music deserved the same sort of scholarly attention that, you know, Detroit gets with Motown or Memphis gets with Stax, I'm sorry. And, you know, he thought that story deserved to be told on a wider platform. And so he conducted interviews with dozens of artists, researched a whole bunch of primary sources like the Chicago Defender, which was a major Black newspaper headquartered in Chicago. Ebony and Jet magazines were published in Chicago. And he not only looks at the music, but he looks at the social context of the music. And that's why he names it Move On Up, because it addresses the communities, you know, striving to move on up in society, right? So you've got, at that time, you've got Black political empowerment beginning to happen. You've got growing economic power. Just Records, which we talked about earlier, doesn't get mentioned a lot because it was white owned. And one of his central theses is that, you know, the Black community builds their own economics. They build their own record companies, their artist management companies. They have their own media. They have their own live music spaces, and a lot more than that.
Yeah. In fact, the importance of empirical sources is fundamental for this type of research. It's essential in any area of work. Anyway.
It's time to connect with Athens, where Tom Sideris is waiting online to make his intervention for the same topic, in the same topic. Tom Sideris is a journalist in working in the Hellenic radio broadcast and the worldwide broadcast Voice of Greece, which is and it is we thank him very much for his participation and also for the interconnection with the Voice of Greece, and gave the opportunity to the Greek communities wherever, whenever, in Chicago, in Pretoria, everywhere, to listen to this program. He's also a filmmaker. Global Radio, yes. And he is also a filmmaker for civil rights, on the civil rights, like Let Me Breathe and many others. And so, Tom, we are listening to you.
First of all, thank you very much for this broadcasting. I'm very happy to meet you again in the occasion of the World Radio Day. Yes, tonight, Jonathan, Francesco, and Vasilis, we are connected. Three continents and four cities. Three continents, Europe, Africa, and America, and four cities, Pretoria, Chicago, Brussels, and Athens. Now, the Great Migration, a long-term movement of African Americans from the South to the urban North,
Excuse me. We don't. The sound doesn't.
1960 and 1970. Sorry. Chicago attacked slightly more than 500,000 of the approximately 7 million African Americans who left the South during this decade. Before this migration, African Americans constituted 2% of Chicago's population. By 1970, they were they were 33%. What had been in the 19th century a largely southern and a rural African-American culture became a culture deeply infused with urban sensibility in the 20th century. And what had been a marginalized population in Chicago emerged by the mid-20th century as a powerful force in the city's political, economic, and cultural life. Although migration from the South had contributed to Chicago's black community since the 1840s, the city offered few opportunities to dissatisfied black Southerners until World War I. Chicago, like the rest of the North, offered freedom from legally sanctioned racial discrimination, but industrial employers turned away African Americans who approached the factory gates. Widespread beliefs about the aptitudes of racial and ethnic groups on the part of employers relocated East and South European immigrants to the least skilled jobs in industry, and African Americans had even fewer opportunities. Allegedly incapable of regular, disciplined work, they were virtually excluded except as temporary strike breakers, notably in the meat packing industry in 1904. When World War I halted immigration from Europe while stimulating orders for Chicago manufactured goods, employers needed a new source of labor for jobs assumed to be men's work. Factories opened the doors to black workers, providing opportunities to black Southerners eager to stake their claims to full citizenship through their role in the industrial economy. For black women, the doors opened only slightly and temporarily, but even domestic work in Chicago offered higher wages and more personal autonomy than in the South. Information about the exodus spread quickly through the South, partly because of the Chicago Defender newspaper, which was so influential that many black Southerners going to other northern cities went with images of Chicago. Equally important were the correspondence and visits that established migration chains, linking Chicago with numerous southern communities, especially in Mississippi. Migration ebbed and flowed for 60 decades, accelerating rapidly in the 1940s and 1950s. The expansion of industry during World War II again provided the stimulus. This time, however, the invention of the mechanical cotton picker toward the end of the 1940s provided a push from the South that outlasted the expansion of Chicago's job market. By 1960, Chicago's packing houses had closed and its steel mills were beginning to decline. What had once been envisioned as a promised land for anyone willing to work hard now offered opportunities mainly to educated men and women. The Great Migration established the foundation of Chicago's African-American industrial working class. Despite the tensions between newcomers and old settlers related to differences in age, region of origin, and class, the Great Migration established the foundation for black political power, business enterprise, and union activism. The Great Migration's impact on cultural life in Chicago is most evident in the Southern influence on the Chicago Renaissance of the 1930s and 1940s, as well as blues music, cuisine, churches, and the numerous family and community associations that link Chicago with its southern hinterland, especially Mississippi. To many black Chicagoans, the South remains home, and by the late 1980s, increasing evidence of significant reverse migration, especially among retired people, began to appear. This happened with the Greeks, many Greeks moved to USA and finally to Chicago from the first decades of previous century and during from the end of World War I until the beginning of the World War II. In Chicago, Jonathan, Francesco and Vasilis, we have many singers and musicians, many recording companies, and many Greeks traditional music which recorded this period in Chicago.
Thank you very much for that intervention, Tom. You've given us the perfect historical perspective. I think Dave and Dom will share me in thanking you for that. And it really puts it all together, the migration, the reverse migration, and how this fits in with the music and also the scholarship as well that we hear from Aaron Corin.
Refugees and migrants. Thank you very much. Good night from Athens.
Thank you very much, Tom. Good night. Thank you very much. And so now we will go on with some more music and some more soul songs. This time we have The Impression People Get Ready, which is written by Curtis Mayfield, so the Get On Up guy. And Fontella Bass Rescue Me, written by Raymond Miner, Carl Smith, and Fontella Bass herself, although apparently it's disputed, from 1965. Let's hear these two songs.
People get ready, there's a train a coming. You don't need no baggage, you just get on board. The dealers honing. Don't need no chicken, you just thank the Lord. So people get ready for the train to Jordan, picking up passengers coast to coast. Open the doors and board 'em. There's hope for all among us love the most. Against the kingdom's throne. So people get ready, there's a train a-coming. You don't need no baggage, you just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the Jesus humming. Don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord.
Radio Panic 105.4. Don, this is the first of the first song we heard is typical of the Get Ready, of a song that's using a train imagery. This is a rather interesting metaphor, I would say.
Well, I mean, you know, more broadly, that train imagery, along with a lot of imagery, comes out of the Black spiritual tradition. I mean, the train, you know, the train is carrying people north to freedom, right, from the South, at least to what is expected to be freedom. Things didn't, you know, always turn out as well as people had hoped, but it was certainly an impetus for the migration, as we've heard.
Yeah, and for Fontella Bass, you know, that was her biggest hit, but she didn't make much money out of it at the time, if I remember.
Probably not. There's a story that I've read in more than one place about the paltry check that she got from Chess Records for that. And you know, that isn't, sadly, that isn't terribly unusual. Black musicians were often exploited by white businessmen. Chuck Berry, who had big hits for Chess early on, got deeply, deeply suspicious of the man. And he became famous later on for being sort of ornery and not playing a note, right, until like the money was in his hand. So, you know, that it was a thing. And in Fontella Bass's case, it basically made her quit the pop music business. Yes. and just do art for art's sake. You know, she was just sort of frustrated and disgusted by that.
Yeah, it's a pretty
Curtis
sad
Mayfield,
situation.
On the other hand, and Curtis Mayfield was a lead singer with The Impressions, which is why, like, he wrote that song, right?
Yeah, of course.
His response to that sort of, you know, that sort of exploitation by the man was to form his own record company, right? So he released Kurtom Records, he created Kurtom Records with his business partner, and they released Move On Up. So that, you know, that empowerment of, like, we're moving up now, we're taking charge, is the embodiment of that song.
And of course, that's why Aaron wrote his book, Move On Up. So we go back to what we were saying before.
Exactly that, yeah.
Exactly that. And this exploitation, I mean, if it still goes on today, it would be a sad state of affairs. So now we're going to listen to a song from Ramsay Stewart called The
In. Ramsay Lewis.
Exactly.
Sorry, didn't want to.
From The In Crowd from 1965, which was written by Billy Page. And then we will hear also Young Holt Unlimited Soulful Strut from 1968, written by Eugene Record and Sonny Sanders. Let's hear these two, please.
Vous écoutez Radio Panique, et maintenant c'est Historias Minimas l'émission. And now un nouveau morceau, Your Love Keeps Lifting Me Higher and Higher and Higher and Higher.
Explain to our listeners the difference between the terms soul and rhythm and blues, or R&B.
Yeah, sure. Well, you know, in a way, they are descriptions of the same thing, but they come from a different perspective. R&B, rhythm and blues, that's kind of a 1950s era term, and it was used to sort of try and describe and market this combination of rhythm music, which kind of came out of a country music tradition, and blues. So you had rhythm and blues, which a few years later kind of became rock and roll, right? So that's an industry term. But I think soul is really something that rose up out of the community in the 1960s. It's an expression of passion. It's an expression of feelings. And it's claiming the music as like, this is ours, right? This wasn't given to us. This is our music. Soul eventually becomes the descriptor. You know, you have Black Pride, you have Black is Beautiful happening in the 60s, right? So soul becomes, you know, it becomes a fashion, it becomes a style, it becomes an identity. You know, if you think of like Angela Davis and her beautiful Afro hairstyle, that's soul, right? You have the television program Soul Train, which is sort of like the Black American Bandstand, right? But it featured young Black and women dancing to the latest hits. That got its start in Chicago too. And at the time, it was the only TV show in the entire United States that was produced by black people for a black audience. But, you know, the term R&B has never completely gone away. And soul music is used a little bit yet less these days. And people use the term this, they, I think they're talking about, generally speaking, they're either talking about older music or they're talking about an aesthetic. They're talking about younger artists who are working in that tradition. But yeah, those, I, to me, those are the main differences between soul and R&B. It's the same thing, but it's why am I doing it, really?
Yeah, it's a sort of a rhetorical question, in fact.
Yeah, it's a bit of that, right? I mean,
yeah. Now, to our dear listeners of Radio Panic, we're going to the last part of our show. We're coming to the last third. And it's folk music we're going now to address, which was something came up a little bit later. And we're going to start with an early star of the Chicago folk scene. It was a gentleman called Steve Goodman. He came from the likes of Arthur Guthrie and many others at the time. And we're going to hear two of the songs that he wrote himself. It's slightly different from the blues, where often these are reinterpretations of old songs. These are songs which are written by the artist who plays them. Ballad of Penny Evans and Lincoln Park Pirates. Let's hear those two songs on Radio Panic.
Oh, my name is Penny Evans and my age is 21. A young widow in the war that's being fought in Vietnam. And I have two infant daughters, and I do the best I can. Now they say the war is over, but I think it's just begun. And I remember I was 17 on the day I met young Bill. And at his father's grand piano, we'd play good old Heart and Soul. And I only knew the left hand part, and he the right so well. And he's the only boy I slept with, and the only one I will. It's first we had a baby girl, and we had two good years. And it was next the one a notice came, and we parted without tears. And it was 9 months from our last good night our second babe appears. And so it's 10 months and a telegram confirming all our fears. And now every month I get a check from an army bureaucrat. And it's every month I tear it up and I mail the damn thing back. Do you think that makes it all right? Do you think I'd fall for that? And you can keep your bloody money. Sure won't bring my Billy back. I never cared for politics and speeches I don't understand. And likewise never took no charity from any living man. But tonight there's 50,000 gone in that unhappy land. And 50,000 heart and souls being played with just one hand. And my name is Penny Evans, and I've just gone 21. A young widow in the war that's being fought in Vietnam. And I have two infant daughters, and I thank God I have no sons. Now they say the war is over, but I think it's just begun.
Benny Goodman.